biscuits and gravy.
Hello, boys.
What does LP stand for?
Lizard people. Nazi whale margarine pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck.
Pol Pot pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria.
Yeah. Yeah. Good morning and aloha, biscuiteers. You got dialed on in to KAKU 88.5, the voice of
gravy.
That's right. I'm Chuck Sauce. He's Vincent Fodi, and we are the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
You're riding the gravy train, baby.
Yeah, that's right. This is a truth and educational show on listener-supported 88.5, the voice of Maui.
Well, you know what, Chuck? I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
I was listening to, right before you came in, I was listening to our lead-in show, which is the Pac-Man show.
Oh, yeah, our opener?
Yeah, our opener. Mm. And he was playing an interview that he did with some guy, and they were dropping F-bombs on the radio.
Did you know that you can do that on educational purposes?
So I didn't know that, but so Tony told me, I was like, did that guy just say the F word? And Tony was like, yeah, because it's journalism. So apparently on public radio, if you're playing something that qualifies as journalism, you're allowed to say the F word.
Yes.
I did not know this. And so I have Tony looking into the statutes.
You're
right
more
now.
Of a diary guy, but apparently we should be journaling.
So I have Tony looking into this.
I would can love get to read classified in your voice, by the way. Dear diary, today Chuck was late.
Today Chuck was late. I think I got him pregnant.
Tony, are we journalists? We're journalists. He said, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we have a segment called Biscuits and or Gravy News.
That's right.
So, I mean, literally, we're
Morning Wood.
Technically, we're gravy journalists.
Yeah.
And gravy journalists
or unbiased biscuit boys
count as effing journalists. So I'm gonna have Tony look into this. We're gonna try to figure out if we can somehow get ourselves classified as journalism.
You guys have said bukkake on the radio before, and that's life, so you know.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
well, it is slippery.
Well, now you just said bukkake on the radio, Tony. So you know, people in glass houses.
And if you know what that word is, give us a call at 808-873-3435. That's right. Caller number 5, please give us a ring-a-ding on the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
I mean, bukkake is not on the list of words that we're not allowed to
873-3435. It's not on the list, dagnabbit. So what do we got going on?
Neither is paizuri.
Our fact-filled...
Do you know what paizuri is?
We can't talk about this.
Do you know what it is?
I'm imagining it's an Italian word.
No, it's a Japanese word.
Oh, then I don't. Then I definitely don't.
For something that I enjoy very much.
I don't want to, you know, my phone's getting old. I got to stop looking up stuff like that.
All right. Chuck, your algorithm was ruined a long, long time ago.
Lordy.
So I want to figure out how we can get classified as journalists. Now, here's the caveat, right? Pac-Man can't say it himself, right? He has to be like playing
a
clip.
He's a shapeshifted and demonoid lizard.
He has to be playing a clip of somebody. Like if we do an interview with somebody, or we have a clip of us doing an interview with someone, and they say the F word.
Bad journalism to censor and alter what a person's saying. It wouldn't be representative of what they said.
Right, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah, because journalism needs to be uncensored.
Dear diary, today someone swore on the radio.
Or maybe journalists are the enemy of the people. We don't want to, you know, once Donald Trump becomes president, the news media is the enemy.
We got to get on Truth Social. Is that what it's called?
We do got to get on Truth
Social. We got to jump ships, dude.
And Blue Sky.
What?
Are you going to get
a Tom Cruise movie?
That's Vanilla Sky.
Oh. That movie doesn't make sense to me.
That's the Scientology.
Did he only
Twitter.
Meet her once? I don't get it.
What's that?
Did he only meet her once and the rest was in his dreams?
I don't know. I've seen that movie and I still don't understand it.
I don't know. Tony, what? All right. So what's Blue Sky?
Blue Sky.
Is that the ELO song?
That's Mr. Blue Sky.
Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah.
This is his son?
Blue Sky is... This is Blue Sky Jr.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Mr. Blue Sky is my father, okay?
I'm Blue Sky Jr.
I'm just Blue Sky.
Okay. Or would he be Blue Sky the second?
Wait, do you not
Why
know...
Why do people do... I don't know what Blue Sky is.
Do you really
is.
Not know what Blue Sky is?
No, and I don't know what Pompadoucidae is, or whatever that gross word used earlier.
Well... Okay, remember
I'm
like
a babe
remember like a year ago when Twitter became like
X.
Okay with Nazism and fascism and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you know this fun fact, you're not allowed to say the word cisgender on Twitter.
Crazy.
They consider that a slur. hate speech is fine, yeah. But they consider the word cisgender to be hate speech.
The word
Blue Sky is basically just another Twitter. It's basically just Twitter 2.0. And so all the people that, for some reason, should have left Twitter a long time ago are now finally realizing that it's like no longer ethically acceptable to be on Twitter anymore. So a lot of advertisers, big name companies, and influencers are leaving X and heading over to Blue Sky. So Blue Sky is going to be pretty much what Twitter used to be, where it's going to be a safe space
for liberals that can say the word cisgender.
I think you're allowed to say the word cisgender on Blue Sky.
Okay.
I don't know if it's necessary. Like, I don't know if it's...
What if we can't say it right now?
I don't know if it's specifically for liberals, but, I mean, they're seeing a huge influx of liberals because, I mean, the only people that are leaving X right now are people, obviously, who are dissatisfied with the way that X conducted itself during the election and spread a lot of misinformation leading to the re-election of Donald Trump.
Huh. That's wild. I've never heard of it. I don't even have the Twitter app.
We made a Twitter for Gravy. I had Twitter for a long time, but I only used my account to post one-liners.
Mm.
And then I eventually like deleted it because I wasn't making posts anyway. Yeah. I never went on Twitter.
Do Threads? They're always trying to get me with Threads. I'm on Instagram.
Instagram's always trying to get me to join Threads. But it's like
you can't find the half article it baited you in.
But it's like I left Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I join another social media platform run by Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
It's weird. It was like Zuckerberg, like Facebook all of a sudden went fascist and was responsible for a lot of misinformation.
I'm worried about algorithms, like in
2015 and 2016, Facebook went fascist and it resulted in Donald Trump getting elected the first time. And now X went fascist right in time for Trump to get elected the second time in 2024.
So now more than ever.
So in 2028, what is going to – I mean it's
– us. We need to be the voice
of reason. To start our own – we need to start like Biscuit Threads.
Yes.
Or Gravier.
We just call it Biscuit Bumps.
Yeah, there you go. Biscuit Bumps. And when you like something or you favorite it, it's called the Biscuit Bump.
Yeah.
You give it the Biscuit Bump or when you share
dump.
It. Yeah, oh yeah.
Biscuit Bump, Biscuit Dumps. I think we're onto something.
And when you share something, it's called the Gravy Train.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
oh, I love it.
Yeah, so we're going to have Gravy Social.
Wow.
I like it.
Okay. Gravy So what?
Yeah, so Gravy Social sounds like a 1920s high school function where you just go and everybody drinks gravy.
I mean,
that sounds like a great time.
Got to get some meat on your bones. Great.
Well, they used to have something called Ice Cream Social, right?
Yeah.
What's an Ice Cream Social?
I mean, it's an ice cream. It's like a sundae, but not on Sundays.
No, wait, what?
Ice Cream Social, usually it's like a sundae bar.
A sundae bar?
Yeah, so like you have different ice creams and different toppings. It's an ice cream
social. So it's not like a get-together?
Yeah, it is a get-together, but you get – it's like
you get together and everybody eats ice cream from a big ice cream sundae bar?
Yeah, you get like M&Ms and like and
okay.
toppings. And
so
fudge.
Ice Cream Social is what I think it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Although a lot of people...
How come I've never been to an ice cream social?
Because you're a loser.
Do they still do them? Or was it something like... Is it like soft hops? Is it something from like the 50s?
All the ice cream
Do they still have soft hops?
I went to were like summer camp related.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like we went to a lake club with picnic tables and stuff.
Yeah.
And they would do ice cream socials.
Yeah, is that when you became lactose intolerant? It's too bad that you're lactose intolerant because our studio is located on Dairy Road.
Oh, lordy.
Dairy Road.
333, baby.
333 Dairy Road.
333.
Did you know that there's no such thing as lactose intolerance?
I mean, I personally beat lactose intolerance.
Well, here's the thing. There's no such thing as lactose intolerance because humans are naturally supposed to be lactose intolerant.
Huh.
There's like a genetic mutation that like dairy farmers and stuff adapted to. People who were in like very rural places where the only source of food was like dairy and cow's milk and stuff like that. And they had this genetic mutation that allowed them to tolerate dairy. And so there's a dairy tolerance.
Wild.
So people who aren't lactose intolerant are the mutants.
Yeah, and it's normal to get like stinky farts after eating a lot of dairy products.
Yeah, it's normal to be lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
That's why there's only like a certain, that's why like most people are lactose intolerant, and then there's like a certain subset of people that like love dairy.
I just don't.
I love dairy.
Yeah, I can eat good cheese, you know. But if I'm having like fettuccine Alfredo.
You can eat bad cheese too.
Yeah.
You can eat anything.
You just, sometimes you just get sick because you
beat it
so much.
I beat it. Yeah. I've never had any issues with lactose intolerance, and I'm, you know what? I've been doing lately? I've been getting back into cereal.
Oh, you lucky dog.
Because I remember when I was a kid, I used to eat cereal all the time, right?
It saves you so much time.
And then I stopped eating. For a long time, I was not like a breakfast guy.
No.
I never really.
I'm a ham and eggs.
I haven't been a breakfast guy for a long time, except when people bring me bagels.
Oh, yeah, dog.
I recently went on a bagel kick. I had some bagels in my freezer. And so, like, I defrosted them, and I've been having bagels for breakfast every morning. And so, like, bagels and cream cheese, I love bagels and cream cheese, mm-hmm. but I also love, like, a breakfast sandwich on a bagel. Yeah. So I was making, like...
What's your favorite breakfast sandwich?
Scrap legs and cheese, ooh, salt, pepper, ketchup.
Okay. Oh, you're a ketchup boy,
I'm a SPK kind of guy. Salt, pepper, ketchup, baby.
Wow.
On a hoagie roll.
I like it if it's super fluffy eggs. I like to get ketchup on it sometimes.
When I was in college, there was a food truck that would set up in the morning, and they sold breakfast sandwiches, and it was like a foot-long hoagie roll, mm-hmm. and you could do bacon, egg, and cheese, sausage, egg, and cheese, scrapple, egg, and cheese.
Scrapple is a pretty regional thing. It's not spam.
Scrapple is like an offal. Uh-huh. So, I mean, like, it's kind of like spam.
It's like bits of fatty meat.
It's like a German offal. I mean
does scrapple come from the word like scraps?
I want to say... Yes.
it's a very Pennsylvania Dutch thing, which they're not even Dutch. They're Germanies.
Yeah, there's no way to describe scrapple and make it sound appetizing, but it's good, especially if you grow up eating it. It's one of those things like Taylor ham. Like, it's sort of like a regional, Philly, Jersey type thing.
Devil ham?
I have had deviled ham. Whipped. Not a huge fan of whipped deviled ham, but
in a can?
You know what I do like is ham croquettes.
Love it, dude. Oh, my God. The ones that your wife
makes really great.
They're like
ham.
If you guys have never had it, it's like a fried ham milkshake.
But it is a fried ham milkshake.
Yeah.
Fried ham milkshake balls.
Some fried ham milkshake
balls. But when she makes them, they're... Croquetas. Would you like some croquetas?
You put milk and like a sweet ham in a blender.
You just blend up ham till it's liquid, and then you fry it, and then you got a fried ham slurry. But anyway, the food truck would sell their breakfast sandwiches for $2. It was the best deal you could possibly get. And to this day, sometimes I still text my friend and be like, remember that $2 breakfast sandwich truck? He's like, yeah, dude, it was so good.
There's a Stephen King book, and this guy can time travel, and he uses it to go back in time and get food.
That's the 63. Yeah.
That's like the B plot.
Wait, what is it? November what?
I think it's just November 1963.
I think it's the actual date that Kennedy got assassinated. But I remember that. That's like the B plot. Like the main plot is that James Franco goes back in time to stop the Kennedy assassination. But I think Chris Cooper wants to go back in time and buy cheap beef.
Love it, dude.
What is it?
It's Chris Cooper, dude, and it goes back and forth.
It is Chris Cooper, right?
Yeah.
The dad from November Sky, October Sky.
And he's the bad dad.
November Sky is...
October Sky.
November Sky is after the election when everybody moves over to Blue Sky from X.
Oh, I was off. It was 11/22.
11/22, yeah. So it's coming up.
2 days from now, bro.
Yeah, 2 days from now.
Whoa.
Wow. Funny you should mention that. But yeah, man, $2 for a foot-long breakfast sandwich, that's the best deal, man. I love it.
I just want to go back in time. And do you think Taco Bell was better when I was 19? Or do you think I appreciated Taco Bell more because I hadn't ruined my mouth yet?
I think it was better because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
I was every once in a while online, you'll see pictures of like Taco Bell's menu from like 1990. And it's like a taco is like a quarter.
Yeah.
I love the ones where it's like pictures of McDonald's menu from like the 80s. And it's like a cheeseburger is 15 cents. It's like, wait, what?
How did it get? It's like, yeah, how did it escalate so quickly?
Dude, If you go to the Burger King at the Kahului Airport, a Big Mac, not the meal, but just the Big Mac by itself is like $17, which is absurd. I mean, that's partially because you're at the airport, but also partially because you're on Maui.
They're small.
So it's like double exorbitant.
Wait, Big Mac? You mean Whopper?
Whopper, of course. I would never eat a Big Mac from Burger King.
Yeah.
They don't do them well.
They're small, dude. I had the burgers. Like, my hands are not going to be bigger.
Yeah.
The food's getting
smaller. No, that's what they want you to think. They're like, oh, no, when you were younger, you were smaller, so it looked bigger. It's like, no, you also shrunk it. It's all shrinkflation is real, and we've talked about this before on the show. But you know what breakfast sandwiches I've been making? I've been doing the gochujang spam.
Yeah, dog, so good.
I keep saying gochujang. It's gochujang.
Gochujang.
Gochujang spam. And yeah, you, we're in the gochujang. We're in the gochujang.
Yeah. We're just two Maui journalists
throwing up gang signs. The gochujang spam that you gave me, I went through that immediately because it was super good. But you also, last time you were on the mainland, you brought me from Trader Joe's a tub of gochujang that I've had in my fridge. It's super good.
Do you dilute it at all?
No.
You just
I spread it right on the spam, and then like I fry the spam up in the pan, and the gochujang like infuses into the spam. It's so good.
I like pretty much anything with Trader Joe's.
I've been doing like taking like a little dollop of the gochujang and mixing it in with the eggs as I like whip up the eggs. I have one of those little frying pans that's the size of one fried egg, but sometimes I'll like scramble the eggs and like and mix them all up. Mm-hmm. And so when it forms a solid, it makes like a little egg McMuffin. Yeah. So when I'm making a breakfast sandwich, I just cook it in that, and it makes like a perfect little shaped egg McMuffin. So I'll do like a gochujang egg McMuffin type on a bagel with a little fried spam on top.
You ever microwave
eggs? And some melted cheese.
You ever microwave eggs?
Well, I'll make the egg patty, and then I'll put like some cheese on it, and then put it in the microwave just to melt the cheese onto the eggs, and then throw some spam on there, a little ketchup, and
ketchup on
a bagel. Ah, so good.
I went forever
ketchup, hot sauce
in my house.
What's that?
I went forever without even having ketchup in my house.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
How can you not have ketchup?
I think I just use. We're more of a gravy household, cheese and hot sauces.
But I mean, like, there's some things that ketchup is necessary for, like French fries.
I don't have French fries at home.
Burgers.
Burgers, yeah, but even burgers,
I'm a ketchup guy on a cheese
mustard
steak.
And mayo. And like heavy seasoning for
you
a
need
burger.
Ketchup on a burger.
I like it when I'm out, but I don't have it at home.
Hmm.
The only ketchup I have right now is actually like 7 or 8 months old, and it's the habanero ketchup, and it's unopened.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I don't.
Were
know,
you a man. Mayo family growing up? Did you have mayo in your fridge?
Oh yeah, we have it all.
We didn't have mayo, and so blew.
We have all
my
the condiments.
Mind. I never had this. I'll never forget it. I was.
I'm a big condiment
house,
guy.
Eighth grade. I had mayo and hot sauce the first time on a sandwich. Blew my mind.
Mayo and hot sauce is good. I also
it's so
like
good.
I like doing either mayo and sriracha mixed together and make like a sriracha aioli or sriracha and sour cream.
Oh yeah.
Sriracha and sour cream is great on like a taco or a fajita or something like that.
Oh yeah.
So
we had
good.
Fried clams at your house once and we did sriracha and sour cream and it was so good.
Fried clams?
Yeah,
at my house?
Yeah, I brought clam strips. We put it in the air fryer.
Was that a drunker in the bunker night?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember that at all.
Really?
I remember you being really drunk and making a mess in my kitchen.
You don't remember clam strips?
Now that you say clam strips, I kind of remember that I didn't know clam strips existed, and you're like, you don't know about clam strips?
You don't know about clam strips, bro.
Yeah. And then I guess apparently I immediately forgot it.
It's about 50% breading, usually. There's a lot of breading on that.
Now, Chuck, I just came back from
nuts and the bolts.
I just came back from Big Island today. And you picked me up from the airport.
Yes.
My lovely wife and I. And apparently you didn't leave until we had landed.
Yeah,
was when you left your house.
Yeah.
So you're quite late picking us up from the airport.
Yeah. Sorry.
which I didn't fully appreciate. But here's the thing. When you're picking up somebody from the airport, that's a really nice favor to do for somebody.
Usually.
Right? So where's the line? How late can you be when picking somebody up from the airport goes from a favor to an inconvenience?
I would say I was 2 to 3 minutes away from being inconvenient.
The funny thing is, I texted you when we were leaving Oahu.
Yeah.
And the flight from Oahu to Maui is only about 40 minutes. So if you had left at the same time our plane left, you would have only been like 10 to 5 minutes early.
No, it's only 15 minutes from my house.
The airport?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I mean,
the airport's like a half hour from my house. Well, and do I live 15 minutes away from you?
Almost.
Huh.
It's that roundabout, man. I'm on the other side of the roundabout.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I'm just
But the roundabout's open. So there's not traffic at the roundabout.
It took me...
I had a feeling that you were flying, though.
It took me like 15 minutes to get to the airport.
Did you really not leave your house until I texted you and said we were at the airport?
I was leaving then. I had already opened the door.
Okay.
Usually it takes like time to get off the plane.
You're like, it's going to be like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, we were coming from Big Island, so we didn't even have any... Not only did we not have any checked luggage, but we also didn't have any actual... We didn't have any carry-ons or anything. Diana had one bag.
No, and dead birds.
And I had a... and I just had my backpack.
Yeah.
Travel light, travel right.
Mm.
I love that. When you go on vacation, you don't even bring a suitcase. You just throw some stuff in a backpack.
So light.
Like two pairs of underwear, a pair of socks, a couple extra shirts.
The place we stayed in Japan had a washer and dryer.
That's true.
And I knew that in advance, so I barely packed anything for Japan. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like traveling light like that.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, honestly, I'm not stinky enough where I really need to get new underwear every day.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, dog.
Because we were in Japan in the wintertime, and it was super cold. And in the wintertime, I don't go through clothes nearly as often as I do in the summertime. Because in the summertime, you're hot, you're sweating, you're sticky, you're gross.
Oh, I've had some two underwear days here.
But in the wintertime, like, I'll wear a pair of jeans every day for like 2 weeks and not even think about washing them. Unless you get something on the outside, you're good to go.
Jeans are like cast iron. You really shouldn't wash them ever.
You got to season your jeans. Yeah, I got my jeans well seasoned. I can't remember the last time I washed my actual jeans that I wear all the time. Every couple months. Because I very rarely wear them anyway.
Do you smell – how often do you smell like where your butt is of clothes that you own or your armpits and stuff?
Well, for shirts, I'll smell the armpits. For underwear, I'll smell all the pertinent spots. But other than that, for like jeans and stuff, I don't feel like jeans don't get dirty unless you get food stains on them.
Well, that's the – I constantly – I don't even know this. But
constantly covered in food stains?
Yeah, I use my clothes as like rags.
See, now that have you ever been like laying in bed, get out of the shower, you're wearing a towel, then you just like go lay in bed and you're eating something wearing a towel and you start using the towel as like a napkin?
Yes.
I've done that too, and then I'm like, I probably shouldn't be doing this. So like Diana's like, why is there barbecue sauce on this towel? Like it's that time of month.
Yeah, you're eating strawberries.
Women have the period towels. Men have barbecue sauce towels.
Like, it's a full moon. You know what that means. Vince isn't leaving the house and he's eating barbecue in his room again.
By the way, today's show is brought to us by Benedict Cumberbatch's Umbrella Patches. Leaky umbrella, don't just patch it up.
Cumberbatch it up.
I was trying to remember Robert Redford's name the other day.
Oh, yeah?
I had to work backwards from Robert Redford's red fir trees. I'm like, okay, red fir trees. Redford, Robert Redford. There it is. Which is not how I should be remembering celebrities' names.
By our own, yeah. I don't know, man. Coming up in the show, we got Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo.
Don't throw a head. You don't know what we're doing. I don't even have the show written down. It's a blank page. Look.
402.
I'm flying. I literally woke up at 4:30 this morning, flew in from Big Island. You picked me up like an hour and a half ago from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you,
I went.
You were only waiting.
I wasn't planning
minutes.
On doing a show. Tony was quite surprised when I came in. He was like, oh, hey, wait, are you doing a show? I'm like, yep. Surprise. So now we're on the air.
Funny for the Biscuits and Gravy comes in part by lovely community-minded celebrity sponsors like James Brown Scrotal Transplant Center. Hey, Vince. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Yeah.
Down at James Brown Scrotal Transplant Center. It's a man's world.
It's a man's world. Yeah, I still got that, like, vacation, like, airplane funk on me. What is it about being on an airplane where it's like, even though you're not doing anything strenuous, your body just like gets nasty?
Yeah, and you're more, they say you're 30 to 40% more flatulent when you fly.
Huh. I wonder
just
if it's
you.
Like,
it's just you, not even me.
I wonder if it's like the pressurized cabin is forcing the gas out of you.
my own pressurized cabin.
You would think, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Maybe because you're eating airplane food.
And so, I am so upset.
But it's like, if you're doing stuff all day, then you come home and you're all sweaty and nasty. You're like, okay, that makes sense. But if you're on an airplane, you're just sitting there. Why are we getting all filmy and nasty on an airplane when we're just sitting there?
What if it makes you age more, right? Like all TSA agents?
No,
just...
actually, we should be aging. When you're flying, you're moving faster. So technically, you're aging slower.
Huh.
Because of relativity.
Like, so if you were in the space station for like 30 years, you'd be like a couple minutes later or something?
Yeah, exactly. That's why the satellites that move around the Earth, because the satellites are moving so fast, they have to take into consideration the fact that satellites are experiencing time slightly, ever so slightly slower. And if they didn't take into account relativity, all the GPS stuff would be all messed up because all the satellites would be like miscalculated.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Also, if you live, like, you know how...
Are you saying if you live in a mountain, you're younger?
If you live at a higher elevation, you're technically... If you live in an apartment high rise and you live on the top floor, you're actually technically younger than the people. You're aging slower than the people on the bottom floor. Because you know how it's like 2 points on a record, even though they're spinning at the same time, that the point on the outside of the record is moving faster than the point on the inside of the record. So based on the rotation of the Earth, if you're at a higher elevation, you're moving faster than people at a lower elevation.
Hmm. In the end of Contact...
That's why all the rich people live in the penthouses.
In the end of Contact, did he make it into space?
Who's he?
The ancient Japanese businessman. Did he make it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Oh,
I thought you were talking about Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew.
Does Matthew McConaughey go into space?
In Interstellar? Which is 10 years old already. Can you believe it?
Really?
Yeah.
So he did get into that Matthew McConaughey is in Contact, right? I'm not thinking of the wrong person.
I don't know if he's in Contact. Jodie Foster is like the main person.
Yeah, but who's the...
You're saying he's in both?
The handsome, well-spoken Southern gentleman
guy.
It can only be Matthew McConaughey, right?
I don't know.
Are you looking up Contact?
It might be, yeah.
Look up Contact, and while you're doing that, I'm going to read this. Channing Tatum's Tater Tots. Today's show is brought to us by Channing Tatum's Tater Tots. Mmm, Tatum's. Put
you're
a little
right.
magic in your mouth. Yeah, it's Matthew
His name is Palmer Joss.
Isn't Contact based on a book written by, what's his name?
Stephen King?
No, not Steve.
Everything is...
The guy from Cosmos.
No way.
Yeah. Carl Sagan. Carl Sagan wrote the book Contact that they made the movie Contact out of.
Oh my God! No way!
You didn't know that?
No!
You thought it was a Stephen King? Stephen King's
no,
Contact.
I didn't think it was anything.
Oh, you thought it was just a screenplay written for Hollywood for Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
No, Carl Sagan wrote that.
Wow.
He's a man of many talents,
what?
Carl Sagan. We are the universe experiencing itself.
Whoa!
We are star stuff. That's my Carl Sagan impression.
Wow.
When you picked me up from the airport, we smoked a joint on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about joints?
I usually like joints.
You're a very pro joint guy.
Yeah, I think it's more social. And I had a big bowl in the car too.
I'm
better weed.
I'm anti joint.
You are anti joint.
I don't know what it is about joints. I've always been like an anti joint guy.
Yeah.
I feel like they're messy.
You don't clean your bowls, though. You have, like, the dirtiest, disgusting... Your bowl weighs, like, 4 times what it should weigh. There's so much stuff in it.
That's not true. I clean my bowls periodically.
Mm.
And I clean my bong.
You do have a pretty clean bong.
I clean my bong pretty often. And I don't use my bowl very often. But when it does get nasty, I do clean it. But I don't enjoy smoking out of bowls either. I think my primary way of smoking weed is bong. I think that's the best way to smoke weed.
Huh. I mean, it's almost efficient, pretty much.
There's a bunch of things. things I like about it. You can, if the water filters it out, so you don't get any ash. It also cools off the smoke, so it's better for
you. You have an ice catcher too, which is really important.
It has an ice catcher, so you can put ice in there as well to cool the smoke off, which is nice. And the thing I like about bongs too is that you can see the chamber, so you can see exactly what kind of hit you're getting. So you can taper the smoke and get a bigger or smaller hit based on how high you're trying to get.
I like bowls, even though I know it's a little wasteful, because they stay lit. You don't have to keep...
Yeah, joints are... Well, I mean, like, it'll stay cherried for a little bit, but you do have to pass the lighter around with the bowl because it's going to go out eventually.
Some people, when they do bongs...
Unless you're, like, smoking like Chicago.
Grind it up and put exactly the amount that they're going to inhale in and just take a big rip. What's the fat?
I don't know. You know what? I never really experienced people doing that until I moved out here.
Yeah.
On the East Coast, it was always like you would pack a big thing and then you would pass it around for everybody. And then when I moved out here,
so weird.
It was this weird thing where like people would pack a single bowl for themselves, smoke it all, and then pass it to the next person. And I was like, I didn't even know that people did that.
I mean, it's like the social aspects.
It's like mole rips too. I never had mole rips.
What is a mole rip?
Mole rip is when you put tobacco in with your... In with your weed.
Yeah. Ugh.
In a bong.
And then what? Yeah. Ew. Ew.
Wait, you've never had a mole rip?
What?
How have you lived on Maui all this time and never had a mole rip?
That sounds disgusting.
And I don't even understand why they call it mole rips either. That's just what they call it out here. I don't know.
They don't
weird.
Even have moles in Hawaii.
I asked somebody one time and they're like, it's because when you smoke it, you feel it in your molars. I'm like, that can't be it.
Also, it sounds like you're smoking cocaine.
Ask Tony if he knows why they're called mole rips.
Tony, when you smoke weed,
do you know what a mole rip is?
No,
it's gross, right?
But have you ever heard of a mole rip?
No,
you've never.
Spliff. Yeah, spliffs, right?
Well, spliff is when you put tobacco in a joint.
Yeah, which sometimes
and you do like you do like a half and half.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a mole rip.
No, I never heard of that.
Huh. Interesting.
Who do you know that does? Oh, I guess. You can't
I'm a
name
bowl
names.
Guy, so
you're a bowl, right?
I bowl it up. I always
bowl.
I don't
bowl,
like,
right?
Yeah, dog.
You look like a bowler.
Yeah.
I'm a bowler. I'm a
bowler. All right. So, guys, if you're out there listening and you have had a mole rip or you know what a mole rip is, give us a call. 808-873-3435. We actually want to hear from you. This is an actual legitimate question to the audience. If you know what a mole rip is, give us a call.
I don't know if our phones work. If the
they probably don't.
Spiro Agnew line.
Yeah,
I've been spending a lot of time looking at bongs lately, and I want an ice catcher. They also have ash catchers.
Ash Ketchum?
Ash Ketchums, yeah.
From Pokemon?
I remember there's a lot of Rick and Morty bongs, and I already have a Rick and Morty bong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's starting to run its course though. The new popular thing for all the bongs and like bowls and smoking paraphernalia is all what's that show? Happy Friends?
Oh.
It's Cartoon Network, I believe.
Okay.
And you know how like Cartoon Network always has like those weird cartoon shows? It's the new one of those. It's pretty popular. So there's two seasons of it. It was called Happy Friends, I think.
Oh, I'll give it a spinaroo.
Yeah, so I'm starting to see a lot of weed paraphernalia and like vapes and stuff with those characters on there.
I never see them for Solar Opposites. You'd think that would be...
You would think Solar Opposites would be more popular, but if you're going to go Solar Opposites, you might as well just go Rick and Morty. It's a little more iconic.
The OG, baby.
But actually, I feel Happy Friends isn't the best show, but it's a great show to have on in the background when you're doing something because it doesn't necessitate your full attention, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I have friends that are like that.
And it's a little bit of an acquired taste when you first start watching it, but after you watch a couple episodes, it starts to grow on you. Huh. So don't give up on the first couple episodes of Happy Friends.
What was that TV show where it was a bunch of public domain cartoons that all lived in a house together?
Oh, you're talking about Drawn Together.
Drawn Together, yeah.
So they were all like parodies of well-known cartoons.
Okay.
There was like a Betty Boop character. There was like a Link from Zelda character.
Yeah.
And there was like a guy that was kind of supposed to be like a Pikachu, I think.
Did you know the original Pikachu is the size of like a Nalgene bottle? Like they're supposed to be really small.
And then there was like a princess as well.
Yeah.
Drawn Together was and there was like a super Superman type guy, like a superhero guy. Drawn Together, even though it was kind of dumb and crude, it was they had a lot of jokes packed into every episode. It had a very high JPM, let's put it that way.
Yes,
jokes per minute.
Do you watch Adventure Time?
Yeah, we watched Adventure Time. Diana really liked Adventure Time, so we went through a phase. Like, I've seen all of Adventure Time probably once. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never, like...
Did you have an Adventure Time t-shirt, or is that something else?
I didn't have an Adventure Time t-shirt, but friend of the show, Ted Anderson, gave me an Adventure Time costume.
Ah.
It was a set, so it's Finn and Jake.
Yeah.
We have like these big foam, like full body costumes of them. So I think me and Diana were Adventure Time 1 year for Halloween.
What's the shirt you have that looks like the Japanese or no Vietnamese flag? It's like red with stars.
Oh, that's Steven Universe.
Oh, okay.
So Steven Universe's shirt is a red shirt with a yellow star on it, which also happens to be like the flag of Vietnam, but it's not related to Vietnam at whatsoever. It's just Steven Universe. So I had that Steven Universe shirt, and every once in a while I would wear it. One time I was wearing it, and I went to that Vietnamese pho place that was right behind where Jorjito's was, which was a great place. I wish that they would reopen, but they've been closed ever since COVID. And so the guy's like, he saw my shirt, he's pointing to my shirt, he's like, "Oh, you like Vietnam?" I'm like, "Oh, no,
I do like Vietnam.
This isn't Vietnam. This is Steven Universe." He's like, oh, okay. But you've been to Vietnam. I'm like, no. What makes you think that implied that I have been to Vietnam?
I'm just an adult that likes maybe children's cartoons.
It's definitely not maybe. It is a child's cartoon.
Oh, okay.
And it's also very like LGBT friendly. So, even though it's not there, it's a lot of subtext. There's not a lot of LGBT text, but there's a lot of LGBT subtext. Mm. And so the fan base for that show is quite weird, and it's a good show,
and Steven Universe.
And I enjoy it, but people can make some wrong assumptions if they see you wearing a Steven Universe shirt, or if you identify as a Steven Universe fan.
can you say that? It's Blue Sky.
you can say cisgender, but you can't imply that there's anything wrong with being a Steven Universe fan.
Are they going to make any South Park this year? I feel like I'm not getting enough South Park in my
life. I don't know. They're like waiting to figure out what the deal is going to be with Paramount or whatever. And, you know, as much as I love South Park, you know me.
I didn't like the South Park fan one that much. I think Cred one, most of it was pretty good.
The one where the Panderverse one,
that was great.
Was one of the best South Park things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, if you haven't seen
that,
it,
that was great.
Becomes black woman, it's hysterical.
Yeah, and they go after the lady who's in charge of Disney, Kathleen Kennedy. Yeah, that was really great. And like I said, I'm a huge South Park fan. You know that I love South Park. But if those guys decided it was time to wrap it up, I'd be like, okay, bow out gracefully. You know, they've more than said enough.
I mean, like what we do in the shadows, they're ending it after season 6. I feel like they could have milked.
And I mean, like I continually harp on The Simpsons and talk.
Oh my God.
Talk poorly about The Simpsons, about how bad The Simpsons is now.
I watched Treehouse of Horror for this year.
It was terrible.
Brutal. You saw it? Brutal, dude.
They haven't had a good Treehouse of Horror in like 10 years.
I mean, you have one a year.
I watch them every year. It's the only episode of The Simpsons that I watch each year, and it's like, you can't even get that one right.
This was depressing.
It was really bad. Oh, and speaking of The Simpsons outstaying their welcome, the lady who does the voice of Milhouse just retired.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, and I mean, The Simpsons haven't been good in like 25 years.
And isn't that nuts?
Yeah, The Simpsons Simpsons has been bad for more than twice the amount of seasons that it was good. And it was good for 10 seasons.
Yeah.
10, 11 seasons.
Wow.
Maybe even 12 seasons. And at some point, you know, when am I going to have to admit to myself that maybe it's time for South Park to end as well?
That's tough.
I don't want there to be a double standard. Now, there hasn't been as much of a drop-off in quality with South Park, especially because the two guys, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, are not your friend Matt Stone, but
yeah, also from Colorado. Hey, Matt.
The fact that those two guys still are highly involved in every single episode and help write and finalize and still do the voices for every episode. So their direct involvement is a lot different than like Matt Groening, who probably hasn't even seen the inside of a writer's room in 20 years.
Mm.
But yeah, I just, you know, maybe it's time for South Park to hang it up. But don't tell anybody that I said that.
Quigley's going to blow your phone off.
I just got back from Big Island. Chuck, what are some of your favorite things to do on Big Island?
Eat. I love the fish and plate lunches on the Big Island.
The first meal that we had there after we got picked up from the airport was at this, like, it was called, like, Kamehameha Cafe, I think. And
was it Italian?
They had a loco moco, but the loco moco had fried rice.
Always like better.
So it was like was like a dirty fried rice loco moco. Oh my god, it was so good. That was how I started off.
Loco moco, where it's fried spam, katsu, and the burger.
From where?
It's right next to Big Island Candy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And we went to Big Island Candy. Big Island Candy is one of the biggest draws of the entire Big Island. Mm-hmm. That's like one of the most popular things to go to. And I'd never been there before. And when I get there, it's like this huge factory. I thought it was going to be like a little retail store.
No, it's rad, dude.
And so you go in and they're like behind glass, you see the entire production line and people wearing like the hats and gloves, you know, like I Love Lucy, like making the candies
it's
and
wild,
stuff.
Though, yeah.
And packaging the candies. Yeah, so I got.
Did you know she worked at See's Candy briefly?
Who?
The woman from Lucy from I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Desi Arnaz wanted the show to be about him and he wanted to be the main character.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously Lucy was a bigger star, and because he was Cuban and, you know, in the 50s, she was much more marketable as a white woman and a like famous comedian.
Yeah.
So he found a very clever way of naming the show I Love Lucy because it's him saying I Love Lucy. So
yeah,
according to the title of the show,
it's actually
even though Lucy is the name Lucy is in the name of the title, it's from the point of view of him because he loves Lucy.
Yeah,
he's very clever, Desi Arnaz. Very clever.
Ooh.
Played by Javier Bardem in the movie. Did you see the movie?
No, I didn't. And
it's okay.
Oh, yeah. See,
It's really cool how it talks about how communism, like the Red Scare was going on. And because he was Cuban, like there was a lot of pushback against him and how he kind of got edged out of the industry. But it was pretty good. It was okay.
Wasn't Castro going to school in America in the 50s?
But Ricky was played by Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
And he is the dad of the Menendez brothers in the Menendez brothers show.
See,
have you seen that yet?
Christy's watching it, so I've only seen it in the background. I usually don't like a lot of biopics unless they're murderous.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very disappointed usually by biopics.
Well, did you watch Dahmer the first season?
No.
What? Dude, Dahmer was so good. The first season of Monster with Dahmer, with the guy, the X-Men guy, he plays Dahmer. Dude, it's so good.
What's it on?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
So the show, the Dahmer show, was season one of Monsters.
Okay.
And then season two was the Menendez brothers.
Huh.
And then season three is going to be Ed Gein.
Oh.
And Charlie Hunnam is playing Ed Gein.
Charlie Hunnam?
Yeah. From Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah. So
wow.
I don't know why they keep getting like very attractive guys to play unattractive serial killers, but Charlie Hunnam's gonna be in season three of Monsters. Dude, if you haven't seen Dahmer, it even got like a bunch of Emmy nominations.
Did you know that we could get
an
Emmy for like a daytime local?
There's
an Emmy for us.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to submit a tape.
Now that we're being journalists.
And one of I think it's like the fourth episode of the Menendez brothers show is all one shot. So you got to check it out. It's phenomenally done.
One shot.
It's so phenomenally
done.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah. So it's really impressive television. It's a masterclass in television making. So highly recommend checking that out. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the guy's going to get an Emmy nomination for Best Actor in a Limited Series based on just that episode. But as I said last week, I have a feeling that Colin Farrell is going to take the main prize because they're talking about the Penguin maybe having a second season.
Getting that much buzz
but
already.
As it stands, it's it's probably just going to be a one season limited series. And if it stays that way, I have a feeling that Colin Farrell's going to take it. He's phenomenal in that.
Yeah. So much work, though. Like the body transformation he goes
through. I wanted to talk more about that last week, but in like the last 15 minutes of the show, I had to poop super bad. So I don't know if you listen to last week's episode towards the end, you can hear like the panic in my voice where I'm like, we got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we actually ended early last week.
Because I got to
never happened.
I was like, it's time for Chuck Stuff Knowledge Buffalo. You're like, we're only 30 minutes into the show.
Coming up in today's show, we have Chuck Stuff and Knowledge Buffalo.
Some other things that we did on. So we did go to Big Island Candy. We got a bunch of presents / Christmas presents / you know, your wife Christy always wants us to bring back candies from Big Island Candies. So we brought back a bunch of gifts for everybody. We also got to go to the Volcanoes National Park.
And you went for sunset, no less.
We went up for sunset, and so we got to see the sunset up there. It was gorgeous. It was really cold out there as well.
Isn't it freezing?
It's cold up there. You don't realize how cold it's going to be up there. So I had my jacket on. But then we passed by this area that has thermal vents, where it's not like volcano sulfur steam, but it's like hot water steam coming up out of these vents. Mm-hmm. And you can go stand next to it, and it's almost like it's like being in a sauna.
Yeah.
It's like being in a steam bath.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Diana and I took a picture of us in like engulfed in steam. It's like super steamy. It looks so funny.
Ooh, steamy pictures of you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was a great time, and we got to stay with Diana's stepdad, Fred, who hosted us. It was such a great time. Hilo's side was great. The guy that we stayed with lived right near the airport, and so he was only also 45 minutes away from like the Volcanoes National Park.
Hilo is the wettest city in America.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're on the east side, so it's like Hana. You know how every night it just rains in Hana?
Never eat shredded wheat.
Never eat shredded
wheat.
What
kind of cereal? Let's circle this back. What kind of cereal do you eat?
Oh, we're going to go back to cereal?
Yeah, dog.
Okay, so I'm trying to get my hands on. Recently, I ordered online some apple cinnamon Cheerios because I hadn't had apple cinnamon Cheerios in a long time.
I just love the box of apple cinnamon Cheerios.
And then
Cheerios,
I went to the store. Well, first of all, it's green, which is my favorite color.
It's
but then I went to the store and they had
green.
It. And I was like, oh, I could have just bought this at the store instead of ordering it off of Amazon. But I'm also, I'm going to probably get some Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You know, I love my Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Also, if I can find some Rice Krispie Treats cereal, I'm trying to get my hands on some Rice Krispie Treats cereal.
Wait,
have you never had that?
Not Rice Krispies. Rice Krispie Treat cereal?
You never had Rice Krispie Treat cereal?
I'm learning. This is truly an educational.
Oh, my.
I am learning
Chuck,
so much today.
Are you kidding me?
Hold on.
Dude, it's the best Krispies cereal of all time. It's not Rice Krispies. It's Rice Krispie Treats cereal. It's basically they take Rice Krispies, turn them into Rice Krispie Treats, chop them up into little chunks and put them in a box as cereal and sell
like
them to kids.
Cookie Crisps it's cookies, and this is Rice Krispie Treats.
I also, by the way, you know I love my Cookie Crisp as well. Cookie Crisp is one of my all-time favorite cereals, but Rice Krispie Treats cereal is like, they don't have any weed in them. I know you probably haven't had Rice Krispie Treats without weed in it in a long time.
Yeah.
But this is just, they take actual Rice Krispie Treats and they chunk them up. And it's cereal. You pour milk on it and eat it. It's amazing. Rice Krispies Treats, right, are made with marshmallow.
Yeah.
And cereal,
and
kids' cereal, has marshmallows. So it's basically a Rice Krispie treat, like a Rice Krispie cereal with marshmallows, except the marshmallows is inculcated into the cereal.
Wow. Because it's not sugary enough. Crazy.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
Now, I don't know if they still sell it. I haven't seen it in a while, but I also don't go cereal shopping very often. But
Would
now
you like
that
any healthy cereals?
Now that I'm doing... Yeah, dude, I love Chex. Okay. I love Frosted Shredded Mini Wheats or Frosted Mini Wheats.
Frosted
which
Mini Wheats are
I don't
good.
Know if that technically counts.
I think that's the border. I'd say it's healthy.
I like Basic Four, which has the little yogurt-covered raisins.
I don't like yogurt-covered anything.
I love Basic Four. We've got some Magic Spoon at the house, too. I think we got Magic Spoon. We had Magic Spoon Peanut Butter
stuff.
Captain Crunch.
What?
And then we also had some Magic Spoon Fruit Loops, which are pretty good. It's good as a snack if you're doing low carb.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fiber, not a lot of carbs. Good as a snack.
I like Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds.
Ooh, yeah. I like regular Cheerios. I like cornflakes.
Is it multigrain Cheerios?
I like cornflakes if there's like cut up strawberries or cut up like bananas in it. I don't like cornflakes just by itself. It's got to have something.
I only have Fruit Loops once every other year when I stay at a motel, and it's the the college style ones. You spin it and it cranks out like a little bit, and it's never been cleaned.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like it's like a little monkey in the morning. You got like solve these puzzles stuff.
It's like a Skinner box.
Yeah,
but for Chuck cereal. All right, let's do a follow up junction. We're almost at the end of the show.
Yeah,
we didn't do any of our
next
segments.
Stop on the biscuits and gravy train today is follow up junction. All aboard!
Because I didn't write the show this week because I wasn't planning on doing an episode today. So sort of a last minute thing. So this is sort of like a drunker in the bunker, but yeah, we're sober.
Mm.
It's sober in the October.
Okay, October skies. And then he tries to kiss, what's his name in American Beauty?
Oh, Chris Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Cooper tries to kiss Kevin Spacey. And who would have thought that Kevin Spacey would turn out to be the weird one in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chris Cooper played a sexually suppressed homosexual Nazi.
Yeah.
But in real life, Kevin Spacey was the bad guy all along.
Grabbing bus boys' butts.
American Beauty, great movie too, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, people made fun of it for being like artsy.
The trash bag.
The trash bag caught in the...
It was parodied in so many things for so long.
But it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Mina Savari.
I love the tension between him and his wife.
I always get Mira Sorvino and Mina Savari mixed up. Mina Savari is the one who is also in... Mina Savari is the one from American Pie, right?
And I always confuse American Pie and American Beauty.
Well,
they're both just American classics.
It's funny, Mina Savari is in like eight things. She has like eight IMDb credits that have the word American in it. Because she's also in like American Horror Story as well. And she's in something called like America whatever. So Mina Savari loves America. You know who else loves America? Donald Trump. And for follow-up junction, we just have to mention that last week we talked about the similarities between Trump and Terminator 2.
Yes.
And so we would be remiss if we didn't talk about this a little bit more. So Donald Trump left and came back. So this is his second term.
So it's T2. For those who are tuning in to the Biscuits and Gravy show, I had an epiphany last week on the show that Donald Trump was sent here by androids in the future.
Right.
To destroy.
Well, to help facilitate the rise of the machines, right? And the more you think about it, the more it makes sense, because Donald Trump's second term, right? So he left and came back. What does the Terminator say?
I'll
be back, right? Uh-huh. And then also, we talked about how Peter Thiel owns Palantir.
Yeah.
And Palantir is an AI company.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Thiel is the guy that was bankrolling J.D. Vance, so he has a close connection to the White House. And then the other guy with a close connection to the White House is another tech bro, Elon Musk. And Elon Musk, who owns Tesla, what is Tesla making right now? Not only are they putting chips in people's brains with Neuralink, but they also just released...
Because that's what they thought the Democrats were doing with vaccines.
But they
and
also...
now people are willingly putting
Tesla is also making humanoid robots right now.
Right as we speak.
Right now, as we speak, they're making and releasing humanoid-based robots. And then both these guys are going to have high-ranking positions in the government. So they're going to be in a perfect position to start implementing the rise of the machines.
Also, I think it's wild that the person, if you've ever seen what a Cybertruck looks like, he's going to be in charge of what's considered wasteful spending.
Also, Fox News, which is totally Republican and loves Donald Trump, Fox News is owned by Rupert Murdoch. And what does Rupert Murdoch also own? A network that's called Sky.
Yeah.
He owns a network called Sky. Skynet. It's all coming together.
I think I nailed it.
So what do the Terminators have on Donald Trump? Do you think they like have his pee tape? the Terminators are like blackmailing Donald Trump into helping them like take over the world. And so they send him back in time.
No, it's like The Informant, where Donald Trump is actually going out of his way. He's gone to the future and asked them to help destroy the past.
And all the time travel is what's making his skin orange. It makes perfect sense. All right. Oh, also, I found out that the word cannoli in Italian translates to little tubes.
See, I knew it meant something.
And so it does have an actual meaning. It doesn't have a meaning that is necessarily sexual, although throughout time people have always been making sexual cannoli puns pretty much since they were invented, but it does not have an overtly sexual name. It just means little tubes.
Oh, okay.
And so that's your follow-up junction.
Little tubes
for this week.
Big cannolis.
I also want to give a shout-out to Cafe Pesto, where I ate dinner at over on
Hawaiian
Big Island.
Restaurant?
Yeah, it's in Big Island in Hilo. It's sort of like Hawaiian and Italian fusion place. Really great. So if you're in Hilo, check out Cafe Pesto. Really good. And I don't know. You got anything quick for spoiler alert? What we do in the shadows?
So far, so good. Let's jump into it. Let's do Chucks of the Knowledge Buffalo.
We got to go. Our first question comes from Marissa in Washington, D.C. Marissa wants to know, who was president during the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Who was Kennedy?
That is correct. We talked about that earlier. And it would have been a lot worse if JFK wasn't president. And if that scumbag Alan Dulles had his way, we would have invaded Cuba long ago. All right, Nicole in Canton, Ohio wants to know, in 1985, this PC operating system was released. 1985.
PC. Apple? Macintosh?
PC.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Dell? Yeah, I don't know.
Windows.
Oh, my God. No, yeah.
Literally the only PC operating system.
All right.
For like 30 years. All right. Our last question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. Ugh. Josh and Kihei wants to know, Woody Johnson, whose name is two words for penis, owns what NFL team?
Woody Johnson.
And it's not the Packers.
Owns.
Because I know you're going to guess the Packers.
No, Packers aren't owned by anybody. They're owned by everybody.
By the state of Wisconsin.
The Panthers. He owns the Panthers.
Ooh, close. I'm sorry. It's the Jets. Woody Johnson owns the Jets.
Bummer. Oh, we gotta go.
And that also means that that's the end of our show.
But not the end of the biscuit, boys, baby.
Did we forget the name of the radio show?
We won't be here next week because it's the day before Thanksgiving and the studio's closed.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll do a bunker episode. Maybe.
We'll see.
Let's do it.
Blackout Friday?
Blackout Friday.
Alrighty.
Blackout in the bunker.
And from me to you, hello.